morning for 15 more minutes. So, of course, thank you, Dean, for asking me to teach God's word this morning. It's a privilege. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. So, Aaron taught us about being not conformed to the world. So, just to make sure everyone's on the same page, are you in favor of conforming to the world or not in favor?
Not in favor.
Hell to the no. Okay, so I can proceed with us, assuming we're all on the same page here.
Yes.
Yes.
Some of you agree, some of you think I worded that question weird, which is fine. Romans 12, 2. Let's pick it up. So it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye what?
Transformed."
So that's what I'm going to teach. Be ye transformed. So just do that, and we're done. Good? All right, cool. So it says, but be ye transformed. So I'm going to talk to you about this word transformed. I'm going to use a Greek word, and I'm also going to talk about biology. So you're about to feel like you're in second period bio class, and I'm sorry, but it's interesting. So the word transformed here is the Greek word metamorpho. There's two O's at the end. Metamorpho. Metamorpho, which means to change into another form. So metamorpho, what biology word does that sound like?
Metamorphosis.
Yes, we're doing really well at this second period class this morning. So we know that some animals go through the process of metamorphosis, right? Like frogs, or our renewed mind mascot, butterflies. Oh my gosh, that was taped. Butterflies go through metamorphosis. And, you know, a lot of animals change in their lives, right? Like they'll look one way when they're young, and then their color of their fur will change a little, and then they look a little different, or they'll drop some feathers and regrow feathers. That's not the word changed that we're going after here. This word change, this word transform, means to go from one life form looking one kind of way to completely changing into a totally different looking life form, right? So let's think about a butterfly. We could go with frog, but butterflies are prettier, right? We can agree to that. A butterfly is born as a little larva. It's like a little thing, whatever a larva is. That's what it's born as. And it grows into a caterpillar. So now you have a picture of a caterpillar in your mind, right? Caterpillars are these, like, they sort of look like worms. They're sort of, I think, fuzzy. Sometimes they have spikes. They're, like, kind of crazy. But they, like, just kind of, like, do that, right? That's a caterpillar. That. Yeah. And while it's a caterpillar, can it really go very far? Not really. They also move pretty slow, and they just are what they are. They're a caterpillar. They're kind of fun for kids to pick up and let them crawl over their hands, and the poor caterpillar is probably terrified, but that's a caterpillar. And what happens is, you know, after a certain amount of time in the caterpillar's life, it finds a twig or a branch somewhere to attach to. And it hangs from this twig, and it forms, ready for another biology word, it forms a chrysalis. A chrysalis. Am I saying that right? I'm not saying it right. Chrysalis. I am never going to teach biology, just in case you're wondering. Chrysalis, not a chrysalis. I said that to our youth fellowship, and no one corrected me. Ellie. Chrysalis. Is it also called a cocoon? Is that, no?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so when it's in that thing, it like builds like this barrier around it. And inside the chrysalis, inside this shell, the caterpillar starts completely restructuring. It actually, this is interesting, parts of it dissolve that it doesn't need anymore. When it's gonna be a butterfly, the parts of it that it doesn't need anymore as a butterfly, those parts just dissolve. There's some like enzyme or some other fancy word that breaks down what they no longer need, and it starts growing other parts like legs and wings that weren't even there in the first place. This thing emerges from the chrysalis as a completely changed life form. It is a butterfly. Does my little caterpillar thing look like this butterfly there? No. So when God tells us to be transformed, he's not talking about, like, you know, a little, like, tweak here and there from how the world is. When he says be transformed, it's like you're going to look real different. You're going to be really different. This word changed, this word transformed is a huge word. When we transform, we dissolve the parts of our thinking that we just don't need anymore, and we start thinking new things that we're going to need and being our beautiful butterflies, okay? So that's what being transformed is. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, please. So I think mostly the biology class is over, and I give myself a B+ for how I explain that. I didn't even pronounce it right. Ephesians 4:22. You guys okay?
Yes.
Would you say if you weren't? Yeah. No. Ephesians 4:22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we just looked at the fact that we want to be transformed. Now we're looking at what we're transforming from and what we're transforming into, okay? So it says in verse 22, we're going to put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. So the old man is the caterpillar in this butterfly analogy, okay? We're transforming from the old man, which is your default programming as a human, is old man. And it says, and we're to be renewed in the spirit of our mind to put on the new man. So the new man in this analogy is the butterfly, right? So if you even just think about the butterfly versus the caterpillar, which one do you want to be? Do you want to be the one that just is like inching along on the ground, can't go anywhere, is trying to avoid being run over by cars and picked up by small children? Or do you want to be the butterfly that butterflies go where they want? They like cross, I think, oceans. I really don't know that much about butterflies. But they go where they want, right? They have wings, they go where they want. They are free, much freer than the caterpillar. So we want to change from being like the old man, super limited, in bondage, can't go anywhere, just stuck where they are. We want to be transformed and put on the new man, which, after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. So now you know what you're changing from, and you know what you're changing to. So a good question right now might be to be asking, how? How do I go from the old man to the new man? How do I go from being a caterpillar to being a butterfly? Figuratively, if you start wearing butterfly wings, you are not getting this exactly right. Romans 12:2. Let's return and see a little bit about the how. I don't have any problem with caterpillars, so anyone who's getting sensitive about that, I don't have a problem with them, but they're just inferior to butterflies, okay? They're limited. And it's very cool that God designed that process, and it's very cool he used that word to describe being transformed to renew your mind. Like, you can use this picture, this mental image of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly to help you change. Like, you can be like, am I being a caterpillar or a butterfly right now and how I'm thinking? Pretty cool. So we're going to look at how. How do we change from this old man way of thinking to the new man? How do we transform? It says, so we're in Romans 12:2 again. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by plastic surgery.
No.
Be ye transformed by buying cooler clothes.
No.
Be transformed by the renewing of your what? The renewing of your mind. Our transformation happens in our minds. Your transformation, your changing, happens by you renewing your mind. So then another good question might be, What does renew mean? And we did look at that a couple times, but I'm going to go over it again. To renew something means to renovate it or to change it for the better. Has anyone had their parents or a friend or just somebody in your life ever do a renovation on their house? Raise your hand. Yeah, okay. So question, Julie, I'm going to ask you, because you lived in a house that was renovated, right? Your house was renovated. Nick even helped with that renovation. Look at that. Okay, so Julie, I have a question. Is your house cooler before it was renovated or after? After, right. When you renovate, you are changing it for the better. People don't renovate their homes to make them worse, right? Sometimes I think that accidentally happens, but the idea is to renovate or to change to make it better. So when we renew our minds, when we renovate our minds, we are changing them for the better. Okay, so this is something we want to be doing. We want to be doing some construction on our brains. After you get born again, which you learn about two chapters prior to Romans 12, in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, after you get born again, your mind, the mind of man, must still be renewed by the man himself, by you yourself. Your mom is not going to renew your mind. You probably didn't even think that, but she can't, or your friends can't. Must be renewed by the person themselves if you are to release the power that you receive from God. To renew your mind, now this is a good one to write down. This is a really simple definition, but if you actually do it, it's going to change your life. To renew your mind means to hold the word in mind, so hold the word in your head, like think it, and act accordingly. You need both of those elements. Hold the word in our minds and act accordingly. And only you can do that. We can help one another with that, but only we can renew our minds. You are the only person who gets the final decision on what you think. Other people can try to influence it, and they sure do. Some people make a lot of money trying to influence, as Aaron mentioned, trying to influence what you think. Some people make political careers out of it. But only you get to decide what you're going to think. It's a privilege, right? So the renewed mind is the changed mind. So if I want to be transformed, if I don't want to conform to this world, I want to be different. If I want to be transformed, looking like going from one thing to looking like something completely different, what I need to do is renew my mind, which is to hold the word in my mind and act accordingly. So let's go to Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23. It is so important to review what Dean covered last night, because he covered the word of God is the will of God. He covered so many incredible scriptures that if you allow your mind to be convinced by those scriptures, you're not going to be like messing around trying to get influenced by TikTokies, talkers, right? You're going to be like, no, the answers are from God's word. Thank you very much. But you need to spend some time absorbing the word that Dean especially shared last night. Matthew 23, 25. Do we call them TikTokies? Does anyone call them that? No. All right. Do we call them chrysalises? No. No. No one calls anything that. Matthew 23, 25. Says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is what?
Within
the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. When we're being transformed, when we're changing, we don't start from the outside in. You start from the inside out. And I don't mean by taking more vitamins and supplements. I mean working on your thinking inside. If you start from the outside and you just start trying to figure out how to seem like a happy believer, how to seem like you're doing the word, but in your heart is full of just crap, is that renewing your mind?
No.
No, that is putting on a show. That is pretending. And it won't help you. You might fool other people, but it won't help you. And the whole point of this is to help you, right? This is for your life. God cares about your heart. He cares about whether you're happy right now at this advance. If you are acting like you're good and you're just having fun, but in your heart you've got something bugging you, I highly suggest you go get some help. I do not suggest you just keep on laughing and goofing around like nothing's wrong if you need help. It's good to have fun, but if you need help with God's word in a part of your life, this is where that needs to happen, all right? Really, what's important is that your heart is taken care of at this advance, okay? So change from the inside out. Let's go to 1 Timothy 2. It just won't help you to pretend. Pretending to be a believer without actually believing is just not going to help you. It's futile. I think Aaron covered that pretty well, so I'm not going to like double down on it. Well, I did just double down on it. I'm not going to triple down on it. So, point made. 1 Timothy 2:4. So renewing your mind starts from the inside out. All has to do with your thinking. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have, and that's who being God, God will have all men to be saved, period. End of verse.
No.
Let's try that again. Some of you are like staring at the back of a chair. Let's try this again. It says, who will have all men to be saved and what? Right, to come unto the knowledge of the truth. In order to put on God's thoughts, we need to know God's word. Being saved, like being born again, is only part of God's will, it turns out. It's a very important part, and it needs to start there, but it's only part of God's will. He also says here that he wants us to come unto the knowledge of the truth. If it's the knowledge of the truth, are there multiple versions of knowledge of multiple versions of the truth? It's the knowledge of the truth. It's not a knowledge of the truth. It is the knowledge of the truth. So very important key to renewing your mind is knowing God's word. That's deep, right? How can I think something I've never heard of? Can I? No one ever told me it was a chrysalis. I always thought it was a chrysalis until I was told otherwise. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. In order to put on God's thoughts, we need to know God's word. Second Peter 1:3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. This verse says that God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So God's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything you need for life and having a relationship with God, God has given you. Where do I get it? Where do I get all of those things? If you keep reading the verse, it says, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. It is by knowing God's word that we get access to all these things that pertain unto life and godliness. Is marriage part of life?
Yes.
Is being a student part of life? Is being, anything I name is going to be yes, but let's continue. Is having friends part of life? Is being sad part of life? Is being happy part of life? Life includes a lot of things, doesn't it? God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Do you think God's word covers how to handle pressure from unbelievers?
Yes.
Do you think God covers, like, the role of a man and a woman in marriage?
Yes.
Do you think God's word covers how to handle feeling distant from people? Yeah, like, it does cover everything. And sometimes if we're struggling in an area of our life and we're trying to renew our minds and it's not working, you may need to learn more of God's word about that area to help you. You may need to learn Like, if for me, if I'm having an issue with marriage, I'm married. If I'm having a problem with some part of marriage, it would help me to learn what God's word says about that topic, right? If you are struggling with, you know, being really influenced by your unbeliever friends, if that's just something that you know is that you're struggling with, you might just need to learn a little bit more of the word about that topic. That's okay. It is okay to be like, I really only know one verse about this. I'm going to believe that, but gosh, maybe I should like look into this more. Like, what else does God's word have to say about this? It's really good to be honest with yourself and realize that maybe you don't know everything God has to say about the topic. Now, none of us know everything God has to say about any given topic, but it's really important to expose yourself specifically to that truth, specifically to that topic that you're trying to change in your life. Really important. How about if you're angry all the time? You know, you may know like a couple verses about anger, but man, God's word has like a ton of stuff about how to deal with when you're angry, like a lot. Go after that topic in God's word, like chase the answers, they're there. If you don't know how to find the answers, there are incredible believers who can teach you God's word about how the word interprets itself and who can give you answers on where to look. There are tons of resources to help you with this. But it's very important to realize that in every category of life that I'm trying to change, that I'm trying to be renewed, there is a very specific, you know, part of God's word that I can be putting on. So get specific about it. Don't be like, yeah, I know I need to think the Bible. What, are you just going to think Genesis 1:1 through the end of Revelation, like, all at once? No, you need to specifically think about the topic that you're working on, right? Unless any of you have superhuman brains and can think the entire Bible at once. Can you do that, Tim? You can't do that. Same. Or me either, to be grammatically correct. Romans 8. This is almost ridiculous to say. There is no shame in asking for help in understanding God's word in a specific category of life. It is kind of ridiculous to not ask. It is kind of absurd. It's like somebody who's trying to be good at basketball not being willing to ask anyone to teach them how to dribble. Like, just, like, if you're trying to learn a skill, like, learn the skill, you know? It's the same with God's word. It really is not that complicated. Romans 8:5 says, "For they that are after the flesh," so the flesh, being after the flesh is like that old man nature. So, like, being after the flesh is like the caterpillar, okay? So you with me so far? That's like the old man. "They that are after the flesh do mind," and that word mind there means think the thoughts of the things of the flesh. "But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is to be like thinking like a caterpillar." Like that's what it is. It's like the old man nature. "For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So I'm going to say you all want life and peace, not death. I'm just assuming. So it says here that, "For they that are after the flesh do think the thoughts of the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." So if you want to walk according to the Spirit, you need to think the thoughts of the Spirit. And this is kind of a cool key. By the way, thinking the thoughts of the Spirit is not like some really obscure, like, woo, magic thoughts. It's like, it just means thinking God's word, okay? And a really cool thing about renewing your mind is it's not just about how to stay happy and how to be nice to people. It is actually about how to manifest power. If you would like to manifest power, if you would like to heal someone, you know, Haley, if you would like to get somebody born again, if you want to manifest God's power, think God's word. And the more that you allow yourself to be influenced by God's word, the more that you will be walking according to the Spirit. I think of it kind of like a plant, you know, like if you do not water a plant, it just withers away and dies, right? Like, it doesn't do very well. If you don't feed your goldfish, who here has had a goldfish or a betta fish? Has anyone, maybe everyone's hands will stay up. Has anyone accidentally killed their goldfish? Right. So if you forget to feed your goldfish, what happens, Julia?
They die.
They die. Yeah. It's the same concept with the old man versus the new man. If you want to be thinking like a believer, water your brain with the word. Feed your brain with the word. If you don't, like, water the new man nature with God's word, its influence in your life will dwindle. We need to feed ourselves tons of God's word. Study God's word more than other material. It sounds obvious. A lot of this stuff sounds obvious. The key is in the doing. The key is in the doing here. Like, I might know, like, I need to get more of God's word in my head and life. But if I go home from this advance and in my practical everyday life, I'm like waking up and scrolling social media until I have to get dressed and then go to school or work. And then I go home and scroll social media until it's time to eat. And then I do whatever I had to do and then scroll social media until it lulls me to a sad sleep. Is that going to help me renew my mind? Right, so this stuff sounds like feeding yourself God's word is a really simple truth to understand. The key to this whole thing is in your doing it in your life, and no one can make you. No one can make you, but the key is just actually doing it. I'm going to give you a little trick to help you know, how to pay attention to what you're thinking about. Go to Luke chapter 6. When I was younger and learning about the renewed mind, I'm older now, but I'm still learning about the renewed mind. But when I was younger and first learning about it, I used to kind of be like, what am I even thinking about? Like, I think all day. What am I thinking about? Am I thinking the word all day? And it was like, I don't know. It felt overwhelming. But here's a little key in God's word to help you know, to help you keep a pulse on where your heart's at. Help you keep a pulse on it. Wow, I got here by turning one page at a time. I did not do that efficiently. Luke 6:45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." If you would like to know what you have been thinking about a lot, listen to yourself when you talk. Doesn't that phrase sound weird? Listen to yourself when you talk. But you will talk about what you're thinking about. If you realize that you've been talking really negatively about every situation in your life, like, hey, how are you today? I'm okay. I'm having trouble with this. Okay, listen to yourself. That might tell you what you've been thinking about. If you have a friend come to you and say, Noah, your friend comes to you and says, hey, I'm really depressed and life sucks. And Noah responds, I agree. it's never going to get better, right? Have I been thinking the word in that? No. And it's just a good way to keep a pulse. You will talk about what you're thinking about, and you can control what you're thinking about. Let's look at that in 2 Corinthians 10. We're going to see this way more this weekend, so I'm just like touching on this, but 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, we looked at this verse. So we just saw a good way to keep a pulse on what you're thinking about is pay attention to what you're talking about. Did you know if you're depressed, it means you've just been thinking depressing thoughts? If you would like to be not depressed, you should think different thoughts. It just takes effort, and that's why a lot of people don't change. Because this does take like an actual effort. This takes a deliberate decision, but I would say it's worth it. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity whatever thoughts feel easy enough to change. Dang it. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This takes practice. Just because you're a believer doesn't mean you're doing this. Just because you're born again doesn't mean you're doing this. If you have never endeavored to control your mind before, you are going to find that it does not always feel so easy. It takes practice to change your mind. Tim, come up here, please. It's a long, long walk. Yay, this is Tim. Hi, Tim. So we're talking about practicing right now. Okay. Tim, I know from personal experience that you play volleyball.
I do play volleyball.
Yes. How long ago did you start playing volleyball?
2 years ago, maybe.
2 years ago. Two or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Okay. When you first started, were you an expert?
No.
What was it like?
It wasn't that good.
Wasn't that good. What did it take to get better?
Practicing and continuing to play.
Practicing and continuing to play. When you practice with people, did they make fun of you for practicing?
No.
No. When you didn't get spiking correct the first time, were you miserable and gave up?
No.
Do you plan to continue playing volleyball?
Yes.
Cool. Do you want to play volleyball tomorrow with me here?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Thank you. All right. Practicing. Pick your sport, or pick your instrument, or pick your hobby, or whatever thing you've done where you started not being good at it, and then you got good at it. Renewing your mind, controlling your thoughts. When you first start it, you're going to be like, this is not as easy as I wanted it to be. But as you practice, and as you fill your mind with God's word, it's going to be beautiful. And you are going to see yourself go from like this little... I'm really bad at this caterpillar thing, but this little caterpillar to being the believer you want to being like that butterfly. Let's go really quick. Actually, let's do this. Go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. So if I want to be transformed, I want to be changed, and not just a little changed, like different, I need to renew my mind. And I can renew my mind by putting God's word in my mind and acting accordingly. We're going to see a little bit about the acting accordingly here. Ephesians 4:22. We're almost done. Ephesians 4:22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old caterpillar man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we read those verses before. We're going to keep going, though. It says in verse 25, wherefore putting away lying. Is lying a characteristic of the old man or the new man?
Old man.
Old man. Mr. Caterpillar man. I'll stop at that. It's a characteristic of the old man. So if I catch myself lying, I can say, wait a minute, that's not what I want to be. And then what can I do? It says, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So one practical way to renew your mind is to stop lying and speak the truth. Verse 26, it says, be ye angry and sin not. Is getting angry and staying angry a characteristic of the old man or the new man? So if I'm still angry about something from 5 years ago, who am I being influenced by, the old man or the new man?
Old man.
Right. So it's good to acknowledge that, right? Just be like, okay, I'm very clear where this is coming from. It says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. What this is saying here is if you get angry, fine, don't go to bed angry. That means if something happens in a given day, when you go to bed that night, you settled it. It may not be fully settled with that person, though you should definitely try, but with you and your heart and you and God, you are settled, and you are not going to bed all messed up. It says, neither give place to the devil. because when you do go to bed angry, you are giving place to the devil. This is a very deep one, but let's continue. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. Is stealing, let's do this again, is stealing a characteristic of the old man or the new man? Okay, so instead of stealing, what do? We labor, rather let him labor, which means work, working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let's go down to verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So, those were some interesting words. Is bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking old man or new man?
Old man.
Okay, so if it's part of the old man, do we want to be doing it?
No.
So it says have it be put away from you. That's like taking out the trash. Like, oh, I'm being bitter? I better take that out with the trash. I better get those thoughts out of there. And what do you do instead? And this is the key, because instead of thinking angry thoughts and instead of thinking bitter thoughts, you need to be thinking something. So what you do, verse 32, it says, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We renew our minds from fear, anxiety, bitterness, gossip, criticism. Those things poison your minds. And fear, stress, and anger, those are strong emotions that sometimes just carry us away. And instead, we replace those thoughts. And I'm going to tell you, the process of replacing those thoughts is not just doing something mind-numbing until you feel less angry. It's not distracting yourself until you just feel like you don't have to deal with it anymore. And a habit that not even just our age group, anyone, a habit that's so easy for us is to just distract ourselves. And for us, because we have our phones, a lot of times what we do is like we're upset or sad or anxious, and so we just start scrolling just to numb ourselves. Numbing yourself and putting off the dealing with it won't help. It just lets it continue. We instead change. We say, hey, I'm really bugged by this situation. I'm not going to just numb it away and distract myself until I feel slightly better. I'm going to actually put on God's word. I am going to change what I'm thinking. This is real stuff, guys, and you are the only one who can do this. You're the only one who can change your mind. So, and then verse 1 of chapter 5, that one says, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. The practical application of the renewed mind is to walk in love. It says in verse 1, imitate God. Verse 2, walk in love. You can be changed. You can be not a conformist like Aaron taught us. We can be totally different from the world. We're not going to be like those. I get a kick out of this. Those people on social media who are like, I'm in my focus on me era. I'm in my whatever, like stay angry era. I'm in my what you give me, I give back era. You guys see that, right? It's, how about I'm a believer, not an era. I'm just always going to be a believer. I'm going to be my absolute best for God. I don't know a lot about this topic in God's word, so I'm chasing it. Like, you decide to change. If you want to be somebody who is speaking God's word, who's teaching God's word, whether up here or one-on-one, if you want to be somebody who's healing people, change your mind and believe that you can. Think God's word. Learn what God's word says about that. You are in control of what you think. You are in control of what you do. If you want to be like this awesome believer who stands out in the best way in the world, ball's in your court, totally. You totally can. Take the time, make the effort, and I will say, having friends around who want to help you with that and who are doing it too, game changer. They can't change your mind for you, but they might be able to point out that you are in need of changing your mind. Aaron has done that for me once or twice or 100 times. So let's return to Romans chapter 12. So don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Change. Don't be like those bitter people in the world who are just going with the flow and letting their strong emotions run their lives. Nuh-uh, that's not you. You are the beautiful butterfly who is free to serve, free to help, free to love, free to have fun, free in their hearts, forgiven, healed. You're healed mentally, physically, and spiritually. That's you. You are in control of whether you change. You are in control of whether you're transformed. And you're enabled by God's word to do so. Just to recap, it says, well, just to read the verse again, it says, Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So let's be transformed. Let's be different. Let's renew our minds. Love you.